The nine men had spread themselves out amongst the twisting gaps through the trees, making it hard to take them all in one attack. Yet they were too close to risk blaster fire once the companions engaged with them. Too far apart to take out, too close to take out. It was more luck than judgment, that much was clear, but it was enough to make the companions' task harder. Ryan signaled, and the six friends shot from their hiding places as the strangely garbed hunting party passed them. It was a measure of how inexperienced the strangers were that they seemed to be completely unaware that they had the companions in their midst until they had already been attacked. The battle was swift and brutal. Unwilling to risk blaster fire that may hit their own people, Ryan, Jack, and JB had opted to use their blades. Mildred and Christy used their bare hands. The two men that the women attacked both fumbled for their blades, and both found themselves on the end of crushing blows. Christy delivered a kick to the groin that was made more painful by the sharp silver point on her blue cowboy boots. Mildred took out her man with a roundhouse punch that connected perfectly on the top of his jaw, just beneath the ear. The man's eyes rolled into his head as his skull snapped back. Doc was the only one who held back. So many thoughts raced to his head, some of which he was ashamed. Should he join the fray or see who won? What would benefit him in his long-term aim? But surely he should help his friends. Ah, but had they been of any help to him, not allowing him to return to his destiny? All of this spun around his head, freezing him until the moment when he was actually attacked. A burly man with a blonde beard to match his mop of curls thrusted Doc with his dagger. Doc smoothly withdrew the razored blade of Toledo steel from its keen sheath and parried the blow, countering with a thrust that swept across the man's chest, ripping his toga and drawing a line of blood from beneath. The odds were already beginning to even up a little. Ryan's panga sliced perfectly through a man's arm. The flesh hung from his upper arm, blood splattering on the foliage around him.
Oh, by the gods!
He recoiled and took no further part in the fray.
It's not them! It's not them!
Them?
The companions became confused by their enemy's cries. They didn't stop fighting, but now found that instead of standing toe to toe, they were driving their attackers back, as though the hunting party was deliberately retreating. The strangely attired men pulled back enough to turn and flee. Jack was about to give chase when Ryan stayed him.
It's not them! It's not them!
As the sounds faded into the distance, the companions exchanged bemused glances. Who had the hunters thought they might be? And did that mean they weren't alone in the woodlands? There was one way to find out. The man on whom Mildred had landed the perfect punch was still unconscious, sprawled on the ground. Ryan strode over and pulled the man to his feet. The movement made him stir, but Ryan helped his return to consciousness.
Come on, come on, wake up, you bastard. Wake up. You've got a lot to tell us, and you better do it quick.
The young man's eyes opened, although they were not yet focused, but they showed naked fear.
Are you going to talk?
Ryan had little time for those who attacked him without reason, and this man looked as though he was about to defend himself.
Don't even think about that.
I wouldn't give you the satisfaction.
Now that he was beginning to take in his surroundings and reason was returning to his muddled senses, the young man was showing some courage. He took in the half-dozen people surrounding him. They weren't the ones his people had sought, although they had fought hard and were understandably angry. If he told them what they wanted to know, then perhaps he would be able to negotiate with them. After all, as he looked around, he could see that there were no chilled bodies scattered around. They hadn't wantonly slaughtered the rest of the party. The man's surreptitious glance didn't escape Ryan.
I cut you a deal. You tell me what I want to know, and you can go free.
Ha! You must think me a fool.
It works like this. We want to get through to the coast without being attacked. You come with us, make sure that doesn't happen, and you're free to go. Your people obviously weren't attacking us. It was a mistake. A stupid one, but shit happens.
The young man studied Ryan's face intently. In turn, the leader studied him. It was an open, soft face. The man was obviously just out of his teens, his long, dark hair and short beard showing the softness of youthful growth. His skin was clear, and his eyes a blue almost as piercing as Ryan's. There were traces of puppy fat still on him, suggesting he came from a vill that had plentiful supplies, and his bearing was strong. Despite the position in which he was held, and the fear that had temporarily assailed him on first coming around, he now held himself defiantly. It was probably a pose, but one he used to try to bluff his way past his fear. Ryan couldn't help but like him. He had balls. Enough to not answer immediately, as though he truly had options to consider.
Very well. I will answer your questions on the understanding that I will aid you with safe passage to the coast and ensure that you aren't attacked by my people. However, I should add that it is still likely that you will be a target, particularly on the route that you wish to take, for my people aren't the only ones who are in this vicinity.
I kind of guessed that from the way you thought we were someone else. So why don't you start by telling us who you are?
The young man looked around before speaking.
I have no objection to this as such, but I feel I must point out that without a sentry of some kind, we may be putting ourselves at risk from those we were seeking.
If they were like your people, we'll hear them coming.
Ah, but that's the problem. We're but novices in the art of combat, and admit it freely. It is one of the problems we seek to address in our quest for survival. But those we oppose, and who oppose us, are experts and masters in the dark arts of war.
Jeez, if you're going to be this long-winded, then you're going to give Doc a run for his money, in which case we really do need to set up a guard.
You got a point there, Mildred.
They withdrew to as secure a position as they could find, and Jack took watch while the young man hunkered down in the midst of the group.
So, what is it that you wish to know?
Who you are and where you're from would be a start, along with who you thought we were and why you tried to attack us.
Allow me to take your questions in the order in which they were posed. First, my name is Affinity, and I come from the Ville of Memphis, which is 8 miles from here, to the north and the west. We're a small ville, and all we want to do is to live in peace, which perhaps may surprise you in light of the way you encountered our sec patrol. But we have to be vigilant, for we're endangered simply because of our peaceful aims.
Why would that be?
I was about to explain, if you give me the chance. We're a breakaway ville formed by those who have escaped from the larger ville of Atlantis. There, all are enslaved in the service of the greater cause. But there were those of us who didn't want to live beneath the whip and the chain. Though we have been brought up to believe in the cause of those who had come to claim us, we now see no point in preparing for a better life that promises nothing but more oppression. So gradually, we fled the sec maze that surrounds the ville and made our own homes, those of us who could make it through with our lives. And yet, you know, that somehow makes it all the sweeter that we have freedom, even if it be at the price of eternal vigilance.
This Atlantis, how far is it from Yourville, Memphis?
Atlantis is 20 miles to the south of Memphis, about 15 from here as the birds fly.
And it's sec from that ville that you were looking for?
Yes, they can often be found here, and there are our enemies.
Doc leaned forward and tapped the young man on the knee.
Please indulge a befuddled old man, but your discourse does not, in some regards, make much sense to me. You claim that these sec men are much better fighters than you are, yet you were actively looking for them when you encountered us. To what purpose would you actively seek out conflict with those who could so easily best you in battle?
It was obvious from the expression on Affinity's face that he was glad that Doc had spoken. Doc's manner of speech was more familiar to the young man.
There are those who would have it that none can escape the long arm of Atlantean law, and so they send out parties of night crawlers who seek to take back those who have transgressed by seeking refuge in our ville. We're new, and we have made our homes in the wreckage of an old pre-dark ville. We don't as yet have the security that Atlantis can boast, and so it is easy to breach our defenses.
What happens to those who are taken?
Public execution, as an example to those who may seek to follow. I have seen it with my own eyes before I risked escape.
And these nightcrawlers, you call them?
They're what their name may suggest. They're painted in the colors of the forest, and they move with stealth and silence. They're upon us before we have a chance to defend ourselves. They use knives and swords, mostly. Well, we have little hope of catching them when we attack, and we have little in the way of fighting skills. Thus, we seek to comb the forest before nightfall, perhaps hoping to keep them at bay by making it hard for them to approach Memphis unseen.
Seems a risky way to try to ensure your safety.
True enough, but there is little else we can do, and the attacks have become less frequent since we first took these measures. It would seem that we have some success, if not perhaps enough. On which note, I shall cease, for I think that I may have answered all your questions. Except for why we attacked you. If I am not mistaken, it was you who attacked first. Nonetheless, we retaliated because we mistakenly assumed you were nightcrawlers and attempted to withdraw when we discovered our mistake. At least, those of us who were able.
Affinity massaged his jaw and looked askance at Mildred.
Hey, what can I say? It had to be done.
Ryan, I don't get some of this. Unless my calculations are off, I don't remember any big ville being in that direction last time we were in this area.
Right. Affinity, You're familiar with the whaling fleets along the coast and the Ville of Claggartville where they come from, right?
I've never heard of this place, and we know nothing of what occurs along the coast. Atlantis has kept itself secreted since the nuke cost and deals as little as possible with outsiders. Most of the food and cloth is generated from within the Ville, and other supplies are taken from the ancient Ville of Trenton. This looms large in our legends from before the nuke cost, when those who knew what was coming prepared for the long winter of the soul. It's all we know, and is why we traveled along those old roads when we sought to build a home away from Atlantis.
So you're living in the ruins of Trenton, New Jersey, and Atlantis was built apart from that?
When Affinity nodded, Ryan could see that Mildred was confused, and he shot her a questioning glance.
Hell, I don't know. I don't remember Trenton being that close to the coast.
Could be the shape of the coastline has changed. Or maybe they think it's Trenton and it's not.
Right. Could be a whole lot of reasons. Kind of irrelevant now. The fact that they're close together and warring with us in the middle is all we really need to know.
I would agree with you. I know not of the places of which you speak, but I do know that the night will soon be upon us, and to be out here in the unprotected forest would be a bad thing.
Ryan looked up at the sky. The sun was beginning to sink.
Can we make it to your Ville before the sun goes down? And if we did, would they welcome us?
As to the latter, I can assure you that the earlier conflict would be forgiven if you brought me home in one piece. It would be, as it were, an act of faith on your part, and accepted as such by my people. But as to the former, I'm not so sure. This is a dense forest, and it is easy to lose direction.
So what are you saying? That we should make a camp here and wait for these night crawlers to sniff us out?
It's not, I agree, an ideal solution. It is, however, a preferable one to roaming the forest at night. At least we can mount some kind of guard if we stay in one spot.
Seeing as we don't know exactly who we're dealing with, then that might be the best thing.
Ryan signaled to Jack, who appeared as if from nowhere. The albino had been up a tree, keeping a watch on the surrounding area, and had been able to pick out every word that had been spoken. Ryan selected a watch, and as usual, took the first for himself. The companions made a small fire in as much of a clearing as they could muster in among the twisting growths. There was little space in which they could comfortably bed down together, yet it was important that they weren't split up. Their proximity to one another was vital. As Ryan began to wreck the darkening surrounding woods, Doc sidled up to Affinity.
Your story intrigues me. I find the names of your vills and your name of much interest. Also your garb. I suspect that there is some purpose to the coloring of your robe, which on the face of it would seem absurd to wear while on a hunt. The red and white combined are elements that ring distant bells in the recesses of my memory, and things begin to come back to me. I suspect that it ties in very well with the use of the names Atlantis and Memphis. I wonder, could it be possible that this construction on which you were once enslaved has something to do with the idea of being prepared for those who have been waiting to rise again?
Are you seeking to play tricks upon me? I am sure that I mentioned the idea of the people from which I come waiting to be claimed.
Yes, but you did not mention the idea of rising again. Having once been of this land, and then sinking below before awaiting the moment when they can once more come to the surface and claim what is rightfully theirs.
Affinity narrowed his gaze, as though seeking to peer inside Doc's mind.
You seem to know a lot about our old legends. I wonder how this could be, as we have always been taught that none outside of our closed community had ever heard them. Your mode of speech, and your seeming knowledge. What do you know of the lost continents and...
Not here, and not now. Perhaps when we reach your Ville on the morrow. There is much I would ask of you, and perhaps much I will be able to assist you with, if you can but assist me in turn. But first, we must have some privacy. There are things to which my companions are not privy.
I believe I understand you. I shall speak to you more of this when we are in Memphis.
Doc smiled and left the young man alone. It left Affinity feeling uneasy. He was in the middle of the forest with people he didn't know, one of whom appeared to be plotting against the others. And although he had seen firsthand their fighting skills, he was very uncomfortable at spending the night outside the safety of his Ville. As Ryan kept watch, Affinity tried to settle to sleep. But try as he might, he couldn't. Instead, he focused on the sounds of the one-eyed man, who was their leader, checking out the immediate area. He could hear Ryan's movements only as the slightest echo of a whisper. He was good. There was no denying that. But the Nightcrawlers made no sound. And it was more than likely that they were out there right now, advancing toward where he lay with the unsuspecting others.